898-5923. That's same area code, 530. 898-5923. Hey, we're on pledge drive. Donate by kzfr.org. Hit donation. Phone 530-895-0131. Or Venmo via Venmo at kzfr901. Now, see you in 3 weeks, third Thursday of the month from 6 to 7, the doctor's in. We're probably going to talk about Cuba. Tom Reed's going to be with me. Listen now for the April 16th Zephyr News. And thank you, Steve Chudy.
This is David Foose, Vice President of the KZFR Board of Directors and Interim Coordinator of Zephyr News. After much planning, Zephyr News debuted last November, and the Spring Pledge Drive shows mark its 19th and 20th episodes. Currently, Zephyr News is produced entirely by volunteers who work hard to get a show on the air each week. Our goal is to hire a part-time news coordinator and have Zephyr News become a daily show within 5 years, but we have no funding for that. If you support local news and reporting, please consider donating generously during this show. An anonymous donor has agreed to match the first $250 in pledges. The easiest way to donate is to call 530-895-0131, where volunteers are ready to take your pledge. You can also go to www.kzfr.org/donate. Thank you for your support.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. The Butte County Board of Supervisors has approved a new partnership aimed at strengthening wildfire prevention efforts across the region. In a recent meeting, supervisors voted on item 4.3, a resolution authorizing a cooperative agreement with California Department of Forestry and Fire Protection to support a fire prevention specialist position. The move reflects growing concern over wildfire risk as Northern California heads into another potentially severe fire season. Under the agreement, the county will collaborate directly with CAL FIRE to fund and support a dedicated specialist focused on fire prevention planning, community outreach, and hazard mitigation. Officials say the position is intended to bridge coordination between local agencies and state fire resources. Wildfires have become an increasingly urgent issue across California in recent years. With longer fire seasons, drier conditions, and more frequent extreme weather events, for communities in and around Chico, that risk is especially present in areas where urban development meets wildland vegetation. The fire prevention specialists will work in those high-risk zones, often referred to as the wildland-urban interface, helping to identify hazards, support defensible space efforts, and coordinate vegetation management projects. During the meeting, supervisors emphasized that prevention work like this can significantly reduce the impact of wildfires before they start. Fire Chief Garrett Scholin speaks at the Board of Supervisors meeting.
February 2021, the board approved an application for mitigation grant from the California Department of Housing and Community Development, HCD, as a result of the 2017 wind complex. This grant funded a community education program for Chapter 38A fire prevention and protection, leading to the 2022 launch of Be Ready Butte campaign to support defensible space inspections. In 2025, in response to the campfire, HCD awarded a second grant in the amount of $1 million to expand the program. And on December 16th, the board directed the fire department to revise the grant scope and budget to include a multi-year, limited-term fire education specialist position to conduct pre-inspection visits and educate homeowners on defensible space. HCD has approved the revisions, which now includes funding in the amount of $499,000 for a fire prevention specialist one position. The department recommends the board adopt a resolution adopting the cooperative agreement with CAL FIRE to establish a 3-year, 4-month limited term fire prevention specialist one position to protect against the risk through homeowner education and duration of the grant.
Funding for the position will be shared as part of the agreement, though details of the financial structure were outlined in the board's supporting documents. Supervisors indicated that the investment aligns with broader county priorities around public safety and disaster preparedness. Community members in fire-prone areas are expected to see more outreach and engagement as the program gets underway. That could include workshops, site visits, and coordination on local fuel reduction projects. Supervisors expressed support for the resolution, ultimately voting to approve the agreement and move forward with the partnership. They say that the addition of a fire prevention specialist will help strengthen the county's overall approach to wildfire resilience, shifting more focus toward preparation and risk reduction before emergencies occur. For residents, the message is clear. Wildfire prevention is shared responsibly, and efforts like this are designed to give communities the tools and support they need to be better prepared. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
This is David Foose reporting for Zephyr News. Goats are returning to Bidwell Park, where they will graze about 20 acres in the Cedar Grove and World of Trees area. Paradise Grazing Company will provide almost 400 goats, which can graze about 1 acre per day. Grazing areas will be cordoned off with an electric fence and warning signs posted. Please do not feed or disturb the goats and guard dogs. Upper Park Road in Bidwell Park will be closed to vehicle traffic at Parking Lot E on weekdays beginning April 13th to allow for material and equipment delivery for the Iron Canyon Fish Passage Project. The purpose of the project is to restore 8.5 miles of critical cold water habitat on Big Chico Creek for threatened spring run Chinook salmon and steelhead. Cal Trout, City of Chico, the Mechoopda Indian Tribe, and the Big Chico Creek Ecological Preserve are all involved with the project. The California Department of Fish and Wildlife announced that commercial ocean salmon fishing is back after a 3-year closure. Increases in the populations of Sacramento River and Klamath River Fall Run Chinook led to the change. And finally, the California Department of Transportation, or Caltrans, in conjunction with the City of Oroville, is beginning construction on the State Route 162 Oroville Rehabilitation Project. Work will include rehabilitating the pavement, improving drainage, upgrading guardrails and signage, and modifying or replacing traffic signals and lighting. This has been David Foose for Zephyr News.
Hi, this is Grant Parks, the general manager of KZFR. Right now, during our spring pledge drive, I'm asking you to support something that's becoming harder and harder to find: local, independent news. Zephyr News is produced right here in our community, covering the issues, voices, and decisions that impact life in the North State. It's reporting you won't hear anywhere else, because it's created by people who live here and care deeply about our community. But programming like Zephyr News only exists because listeners choose to support it. KZFR doesn't rely on the Corporation for Public Broadcasting or the federal government anymore. We rely on you. If you value having access to independent, community-based journalism, now is the time to act. Make your donation today at kzfr.org/donate or call 530-895-0706. Your support keeps Zephyr News on the air and keeps our community informed. Thank you for your support, and thank you for tuning in to KZFR, the Mighty Zephyr.
This is David Foose for Zephyr News, and I'm here with Peter Durfee, who is the incumbent supervisor for Butte County District 2 and running again for a second term. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
So you were born and raised in Chico, and you're a former Major League Baseball umpire.
Absolutely. Yeah, I was born here 50 years ago and worked my way through the minor leagues and got some time in the big leagues before I moved on to my next profession.
Currently, you're a Chico police officer since 2008. Correct me if any of this is wrong. Officer of the Year in 2016. Life-saving medical award in 2021. Promoted to sergeant in 2021. And a former instructor for Butte College Law Enforcement Academy.
Yeah, that's correct. And then 2 years ago, I was promoted to the rank of lieutenant, which is where I currently sit.
So you're the current supervisor for District 2, which is a very large chunk of Northwest Chico. You're completing your first four-year term as Butte County supervisor and running for a second. Why should I vote for you?
Well, you know, 4 years ago, I ran on a platform of public safety, agriculture, supporting development, growth within our community, and really just supporting the people of Butte County, make sure they had a voice. I think in the last 4 years, we've accomplished those things, right? I've turned promises, you know, into reality. We just added the last budget session 102 new positions to public safety. That covers your sheriff's office, your fire department, your correctional officers, your fire, all your fire guys. We actually put three guys on an engine now. So when it comes to public safety, I have pretty much held my word of what I wanted to do, which is why I got the endorsement of Butte County Sheriff Corey Honey, as well as all the public safety organizations within Butte County. So I feel very fortunate that we were able to accomplish that. Agriculture, I support our $750 million agricultural community. We added the Tuscan Water District in North Butte County, which is great for them. Development, we continue to grow smart growth. You know, there's homes going in north of Chico there. And the reason is I think, you know, the officers that I work with should be able to afford to purchase a house in the community they serve. And I say serve because that's what I've done for the last 20 years. You know, I've served my community and I want to continue to serve my community, which is why I'm running again.
You're a Chico police sergeant, county supervisor, have a family, you have charitable interests. That's an ambitious workload, and your job as supervisor certainly involves homework. How can you be an effective supervisor when you have that many responsibilities?
Well, I figure there's 24 hours in the day and I only need about 6 hours sleep. So that leaves me, you know, 18 hours to get the job done, both jobs. You know, as a lieutenant with the police department, you know, it's a 10-hour shift. But that job's coming to an end. You know, I'm going to be retiring this summer after serving this community, but I want to continue to serve, which is why I'm running again. So I think, you know, a lot of folks question, like you asked, how can I do both jobs? Well, the things that we've got accomplished in the last 3.5 years proved that I was successful. I'm successful as a team. And when I say team, I'm one person out of five. And we have a great team on the Board of Supervisors. You know, you don't hear about us in the news like you do maybe other counties or other cities, because we work really well together and we all have our strengths and we focus on our strengths.
Do you see any potential conflicts of interest between being a county supervisor as well as a police officer in a city in the county?
Well, as I retire, it's going to be a moot point, no, there wasn't. And I looked into that prior to running the first time. As the county supervisor, you know, I set policy and budget for the county. As a city police officer, or now police lieutenant, I deal with just the city of Chico Police Department alone. So as a county representative, I have no impact on the city of Chico Police Department. Now, there was one topic. It was the JAG grant. It's a grant that comes to the county that's dispersed to the city. That was really one of my only conflicts. And I just recused myself from that. while I'm serving as a police officer. But again, that'll be a moot point come this summer because I'll no longer be a police officer for the city of Chico.
I'd like to ask your position on several critical issues important to our listeners. First of all, the homelessness crisis.
Yeah, absolutely. Homelessness is, it's not just, you know, one prong. I think we in the city have done a pretty good job working with people like Amber Bass and the Jesus Center and the Tortoise Shelter of showing compassion for folks that want the help. But also people, I believe, need to be held accountable for their actions. You know, if you commit a criminal act, you should go to jail, whether you're homeless, whether you're not homeless. But also we need to get the folks that have these mental health issues, if that's what's driving their homelessness, let's get them the help that they need. You know, we've done a lot in the county as far as the sobering center that opened up just over a year and a half ago, trying to get folks the help they need to get off the, you know, narcotics, alcohol, things like that, and get them the help they need. But however, they have to be, you have to get them the help in order to get them off the street. But yeah, it is a problem because the problem with the homelessness, especially if you see the downtown area, I mean, we've lost 6 to 8 businesses probably in the last year downtown. I'm not going to say it's all because of the homelessness crisis, but I would say a lot of it has to do with it.
Sheriff and police departments are buying used military gear, and that money might be better used elsewhere in the community. Where do you stand on that?
So when it comes to military equipment, that's only in the name alone. Zero items that fall under that list are actually military equipment purchased from the military. Not one. They call it military equipment because that's what the state legislature named it. There is nothing in the military equipment policy that is actually military equipment. In fact, the UAS that we use, call, a lot of people refer to it as a drone, you can buy that at Costco, same exact model. A speaker, it's a giant speaker that we use to communicate with maybe somebody that's barricaded, that's considered military equipment. I can go get that at Walmart. So it's funny how they call it military equipment, but I think that just gets away from the fact of it, there's nothing military about military equipment.
Many believe there's a lack of accountability for professional misconduct by Chico police officers. Others say there have been too many unwarranted shootings of civilians by the police. Some are calling for the creation of a citizens review board. How do you address those charges and where do you stand on creating a citizens review board?
So when it comes to what we do here in Butte County, we do it different than most places. You know, we have a officer-involved shooting protocol team. And the protocol team is run by District Attorney Mike Ramsey, an elected official. And it's put together of every law enforcement agency within Butte County, Fish and Game. There's people on there from Cal Fire, all the law enforcement agencies. And it's a investigation conducted by multiple prongs. If it happens to be a shooting by Chico PD, Chico PD that sits on there, they are not the primary investigators. So it's a broad perspective that you get to look at. When it comes to a citizens advisory board, we have one. It's the city council. There's seven of them in Chico, and they're elected by the people, and they are who oversees the Chico Police Department. So we do have a citizens advisory board. Those seven members of the Chico City Council are citizens. They're community members, elected by community members. So at this point, I don't think there is a need for one because we already have it in place.
Do you support the Sites Reservoir?
Absolutely, 100%. Long overdue.
And do you take a position on the proposed biomass plant in Oroville?
Yeah, so this is pretty early in the conversations. You know, I've talked with the mayor of Oroville recently about it. We sit on another board together. And, you know, I think that we need to have more things done, more research. For me to give an opinion right now, I don't think we have enough knowledge to actually say yes or no.
My last question for you is this. What's the single most important issue in your campaign? If you accomplish nothing else during your next 4 years, what would that be?
So I don't think there's one issue. I think there's multiple issues. Public safety is always going to be my top priority because if our community is not safe, nothing else matters. But that's not just law enforcement and fire. That includes floods, right? We have a flooding issue in Northern Butte County. You know, continuing to support our ag folks and developers. And then January 14th, when the Warren settlement is lifted, I believe that I need to work with my colleagues on the Chico City Council to help them with, you know, this issue of the homelessness. Like you talked about earlier, it is an issue and it's something that we can't turn a blind eye to. We need to work on answers and how are we ultimately going to get there.
Very good. This is David Foose for Zephyr News. We've been speaking to Peter Durfee, Butte County Supervisor for District 2, running for a second term.
You are listening to the Orion News Weekly Report, brought to you by California State University Chico, KZFR, KCSE, and KWQA Maker Radio. The reporters and editors of the Orion work tirelessly to bring you relevant, timely, and engaging news, sports, opinion, and entertainment.
Student elections happened last week, and the results are in. From April 8th to the 9th, students had a chance to vote in the Associated Students General Election. The election provides opportunities for those elected to represent student interest within the Associated Students and to serve on committees that advocate for students, said Kendra Wright, Director of AS Government Affairs. There were 17 elected positions. The results of the election are Beatrix Teeny as president with 745 total votes. Kuriya Takayama as executive vice president with 1,192 votes. For more information regarding the election results, you can go to the Orion website. The Student Learning Center offers free subject tutoring available both in person and online. They offer one-on-one or small group settings for many GE classes. Waitlists are available for students to request specific classes and can be found by visiting the center. Students interested in tutoring services can visit the SSC building, room 340, or call their office at 530-898-6839. The Student Learning Center is open Monday through Thursday from 10 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Fridays from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m.
The University Police Department provides a free shuttle service that is available to all university students, staff, and faculty. Operating from 6 p.m. to midnight during the school year, the shuttle ensures students get across campus safely. To use the service, students can call 530-815-4192 and provide their current location and desired destination. Calls are only answered during operating hours, and students will be given an estimated arrival time for the shuttle. The shuttle follows a fixed route with 8 designated stops: University Village, Machupta Hall, Game Fields 6 and 7, Tehama Hall, Merriam Library, the Wildcat Recreation Center, The Social, and Holt Hall.
Now for Chico Sports. This past weekend, the Wildcat Club lacrosse team, which plays in the Western Collegiate Lacrosse League, looks to round out their season after taking a 14-11 win against San Jose State. The Cats and their new coach, 24-year-old Larkin Coker, a Chico State alum, look to bring the team their second state championship come playoffs. The season started hot with a win against Cal Poly Humboldt and a 17-13 victory. Since then, the Cats have won 3 and lost 5 to sit at 4-5. Last season, in the first round of playoffs, they lost to the UC Davis Aggies 24-4. Looking ahead to this year, Coach Coker said, quote, "Being able to bounce back from a season like that, especially the way it ended in the playoffs, we have a new fire under us." The Cats club lacrosse team has 4 games left, with the last 2 being playoffs. Their final home game of the season is Sunday, April 19th at 11 a.m. in the University Stadium. This game against Pacific Lutheran will also double as their senior night, with admission being free for everyone. If you want to join the Chico State men's lacrosse team as a Chico State student, look for the table in the fall of 2026, as they're always looking for more players. These stories and much, much more can be found at theorion.com. Today's narrators are Cody Rowan, Hannah Cabral, and Josh Shannon. This week's authors include Elizabeth Perez, Brendan and Aiden Masson, and Arlette Valdivia. It's been your boy Josh Shannon, signing off.
Hey, thanks for tuning in to Zephyr News. This news program you're listening to is a result of the dreams and dedication of KZFR volunteers and staff. It's long been our goal to offer our listeners a locally produced regional news program. During this pledge drive, will you help us continue and expand our coverage? Please call 530-895-0131 or go to www.kzfr.org/donate to contribute. As Rivera Sun from Counterpunch said, if we lose our local news, we lose the nuances, specificity, and responsiveness that only a local news outlet can deliver. More and more, this kind of information is of vital importance to our daily lives and to our future. On behalf of all of us at KZFR, this is Laura Lukes, President of the Board of Directors, thanking you for your support.
This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News. Construction season is getting underway in Chico, and this year, city officials say residents can expect to see and feel the impact across much of the community. With the arrival of warmer weather, crews are beginning working on a series of infrastructure projects aimed at repairing roads, upgrading utilities, and improving safety for drivers, cyclists, and pedestrians alike. City officials described the 2026 construction season as a coordinated effort to address long-standing maintenance needs while also preparing for future growth. That includes resurfacing streets that have deteriorated over time, as well as updating traffic signals and improving key intersections. For some residents, that work will likely mean changes to daily routines. Drivers can expect lane closures, detours, and slower traffic in areas where construction is underway. Public work officials are encouraging people to plan ahead and give themselves extra time to get where they're going, especially during peak travel hours. Beneath the surface, crews will also be upgrading Chico's water and sewer systems. These are projects that, while less noticeable, are critical to maintaining reliable service and preventing future breakdowns. At the same time, the city is continuing its push to make streets safer and more accessible. Plans for this season include adding sidewalks in underserved areas, improving crosswalks, and expanding bike infrastructure. Officials acknowledge that the construction may be disruptive, particularly in neighborhoods where multiple projects overlap. They say efforts are being made to phase work carefully and maintain access to homes and businesses whenever possible. Local businesses, in particular, may feel the effects of nearby construction. City officials are urging residents to continue supporting those businesses during the months ahead. The city also plans to provide regular updates on construction schedules and road closures, and residents are encouraged to stay informed as projects move forward. For now, residents can expect increased construction activity across the city as crews begin work on this year's project. This is Hope Rihanna for Zephyr News.
Z-
Zephyr News is produced by Trevor Parks, Lorenz Weissel, and KZFR volunteers.